Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
We have coming on later in the show Nora Pouillon, who is the owner of Restaurant Nora in Washington, D.C. Restaurant Nora was the first certified organic restaurant in the country, and that's a pretty big step. And
a lot
we're
of work.
Looking forward. She's had that restaurant for 27 years, man.
A lot of work to become certified organic.
All right, so she's coming on later in the show. You know, there's a related issue. I saw that, you know, we don't like to talk about problems at the restaurant, and frankly, we don't have a lot of problems along these lines, but we had a customer get mad at us.
Had a customer this past weekend actually get upset at me and the waiter and in the restaurant. We had a large group order six of one. They came in later on Saturday and order six of one of our entrees. We only had a couple left, and so we had to tell them, I'm sorry, we can't accommodate you all. Is it possible that you could pick something else on the menu? And they were mad. They were actually upset. They were clearly unhappy about the fact that we could have run out of an item on our menu. And I think that brings up a really good discussion point. Should a great restaurant ever run out of anything on their menu?
And I say the answer is yes.
Well, obviously, I say the answer is yes, too.
Look, there are certain mistakes that when they happen, you're like, oh, God, I can't believe we did that. Because, you know, even in four-star restaurants, they happen. We're not going to talk about that on the radio. but they don't happen
not
very often.
Anyway, we may talk about it.
But they don't happen very often. However, when a restaurant... Now, listen, you go to a restaurant and they're out of five things on the menu.
Correct.
Or you go to a restaurant and there's something on the menu and you've been there last week and they're still out of it. You know, they're out of it 3 days in a row. That's a problem. Now, we have a very expensive printer in our basement and we can reprint our menus every day if we know we're going to be out of something.
And I guess that's part of the dilemma in this day and age is... If you run out of too many things, or if you're out of it for 4 hours, you probably should reprint your menus. And in this day of desktop publishing, you probably should reprint your menu.
And you may not have time in the middle of service to reprint your menu, but
correct.
Certainly by the next day, you should either have it back or the menu should be
correct.
Reprinted.
You should never start a day with an incorrect.
And if you have one thing on your menu that you run out of, or maybe two if you have a large menu, two's pushing it a little bit. But here's the deal. If you want fresh food, you're occasionally going to run out of something because the only way you can guarantee the item in question was veal scallopini,
right.
I think, right? And the only way you can be sure, and most restaurants should never run out of veal scallopini because they've got 96 of them frozen in their walk-in.
And that was a point I was trying to convey, but I didn't succeed with this particular table. I don't think that they left they left with a good taste in their mouth because they ate something else. But I think that
they felt we were amateurs
disjointed
somehow.
They were disjointed based on that. And what I wanted to tell them is
disjointed.
Well, I don't know.
unhappy. All right.
Discontent.
Right. Discontent.
We went into the evening with 21 orders of veal scallopini. If I go into an evening with many more orders than that, there are 30 items on the menu. If I go into an evening with many more orders than that, you can pretty much be assured that by Monday or Tuesday, you're going to be getting some old veal scallopini.
Right. Or I can freeze it.
Or I can freeze it, and that's my other choice. I can always have some in the freezer and never, ever run out of an item. But what happens if I put it in the freezer?
You get frozen veal.
I degrade the quality of my product. I'm spending all this time and all this effort in order to have the top premium quality product that I can get you. And the moment I put it in the freezer, I degrade that product.
I think that we need to...
I guess you're talking about me. I'm talking about every great restaurant.
No, I guess my point is, in a great restaurant, I don't think that you should never be able to run out of something. I think that if you want to have seasonal local food that hasn't been frozen, there's a certain you can't keep 100 orders on hand when you normally sell 70 or 50. You know what I mean? You can't keep 50 orders on hand when in an average night you sell 15 or 20, because it'll either go bad or you've got to freeze it. So anyway, there's my point with that. I wouldn't be too upset with restaurants if it's real food.
And again, if the restaurants run out of four items because of poor planning, you have a right to be upset at that. I think that you should be upset at that. I don't go to a restaurant that has 12 items on its menu and take a look. And if you're out of four of them, I would expect that something's gone wrong that night. You didn't order appropriately. You didn't act the way you should have. But in a restaurant where there are 25 entrees, let's say, on a menu, and the restaurant's out of one, again, as long as they weren't out of it yesterday, as long as they've actually just run out of it, then I think that you need to cut them a little slack and realize that they may be out of it because they're trying to ensure the quality from start to finish.
And this is why, and we with our restaurants, we do a lot of private parties in Stage Left, mm-hmm. which is the other restaurant. And we won't commit to a menu. Mm-hmm. If you want to do your private party, even if it's your wedding, mm-hmm. I will not commit. If you want, I'll commit to the beef tenderloin. Sure, I can always get that.
Right.
But I won't commit to any certain kind of fish.
Black sea bass. If I go to market and black sea bass doesn't look good, I'm simply not going to buy it just because I promised black sea bass. I'm not going to give you old fish because I promised that black sea bass would be the exact fish on your menu.
Or you're not going to freeze fish. And,
correct.
And I think that's very interesting that these are certain things we will not do for our guests. And it seems mm-hmm. like other restaurants will give you a greater service to say, yes, of course, whatever you want for your wedding 7 months from now, I'll commit to that and I'll get it by hook or by crook.
Right. What if it's a bad strawberry season? When it rains all through strawberry season and there are no strawberries.
If it's strawberries are late or whatever. I'm not getting Guatemalan strawberries for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting. And one of the things, I mean, we hate to say no. But, you know, occasionally sometimes you make choices that don't allow you to do certain things. And when we talk to Nora Pouillon, I think that to be a great chef, you've got to use seasonal and local.
Mm-hmm.
But it puts certain constraints on you and your customers. You know?
And I don't ever want to run out of anything for a customer. Realize that I don't want to entice you to come into my restaurant based on the fact that you had the veal scallopini, let's say, as an example, last time you were in, and you would like to have that again. I'll do everything I can to accommodate you, but I don't want to serve you inferior food.
Okay, well, let's move on to another topic.
Okay.
I saw in the news there's a new group that's forming, and this whole Eat Local movement is very, I mean, I think it's very good, and we try to buy locally whenever we can. Check this out. Last year, Jessica Prentice and Aditi Sampson, Bay Area chefs, and Sage Van Wing, a writer, started a group called Locavores. They're in San Francisco, and they're dedicated to eating foods grown within a 100-mile radius of their home. In an attempt to raise awareness about the globalization of the food supply, members invite people to register online at www.locavores.com and to commit...
That's not locavores.
Right, locavores.com. And to eat locally for at least 1 month out of the year. That's a new thing, to try and eat locally for a month just to... You know, look, it's hard to do that your whole life, but to do it for a month and think about where your food comes from and getting everything from within a 100-mile radius, that's a challenge. It's an interesting challenge.
Can I give everybody a suggestion? If you're going to do this in New Jersey,
yeah, pick August.
Think about July or August as your month to eat locally, because
yeah.
That's where all the best food will be.
April is the cruelest month. Hey, it's in the springtime, though, in Jersey and around here, one of the things that we've taken to even in the restaurant is we have really put a big focus on canning.
Mm-hmm.
We actually use jars, but it's still called canning. We put up local produce all year long to have around the year, including our tomatoes. All of our tomatoes for our tomato sauce in our Italian restaurant are locally grown. And that's 2 tons of tomatoes, everybody. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Nora Pouillon about her first organically certified organic restaurant in Washington, D.C., first certified organic restaurant in the country. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Captain Lombardi and Stage Left Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guest today is Nora Pouillon. She is a pioneer in the organic food industry. Her restaurants, Nora and Asia Nora in Washington, D.C., are the first certified organic restaurants in the country. She's got 4 stars from the Mobile Travel Guide in 2001. She's also consistently in Zagat's top 10 restaurants. She's an advocate and leader in the healthy lifestyle through exercise and eating right, and she also runs a heck of a restaurant. Nora, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, your restaurant is certified organic. What does that mean? And you're the first one in the country to be certified organic. What does that mean exactly?
I'm the first certified organic restaurant, and there's still only two others who are doing it. What it means, it means a lot of work, but it means that 95%, at least 95% that comes into the restaurant, any kind of food that comes into the restaurant has to come from certified organic sources, like purveyors, distributors, farmers, you know, whatever. And I need to have a certificate from them. I'm inspected once a year. When I became certified, I have the restaurant since 27 years, and I have always been an organic restaurant. But, you know, before, as you can imagine, in the 70s, 80s, there was not that much available, so I was maybe only like 10, 20% organic. But as the years went on and more, I could get more and more ingredients organically. I started to think, why not become certified organic? So I had to ask a certification agency, which was then Oregon Tills, if they would certify me. And it had never been done before, so they had to create the standards, you know, the rules. What do you have to do to become certified?
So did that take a long time?
That took nearly 2 years, yes. And then after the 2 years, we had it done, and I had gone through all my sources. You know, many of my farmers were not certified. They had to become certified, or some farmers didn't want to become certified, so I had to find new sources. Mm-hmm. And it was a two-year process, but 6 years ago, in 99, I was the first certified organic restaurant. They had never done it before, and the president actually from Oregon Tills came and did it herself. And what it means is she comes here and she spends nearly a day at the restaurant and goes through my books, and so she looks at my menu and says, okay, it says New York strip steak with broccoli, mashed potatoes, mustard sauce, and you know, chard, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes and looks if I have where my meat comes from. Then she looks if I have an invoice for it to prove that I actually really bought it.
Wow.
She does the same for the potatoes, for the broccoli, for the mustard, for the salt, for the pepper, for the coffee, for the sugar. You know, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to be come from certified organic sources.
And one of the things that our listeners may not realize is, as Nora talks about the certified organic farmers that she's using, you may have a local farmer who's doing things the way that you want them to be done, who just doesn't feel like certifying organic, doesn't want to go through the trouble, doesn't want to jump through the hoops of becoming certified organic. And so what happens in that circumstance?
Well, then, as I say, since I decided to take the step to become certified organic, I have really to ask my farmers to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And most, you know, it's only the really small farmers that only do farmers markets, maybe to two farmers markets or one a week, that have contact with the people that buy their food that they feel they don't have to go through the certification. But farmers that are larger, that want to perhaps sell to Whole Foods or to another, grocery store because they are bigger, or if they personally are convinced. It's not that. I mean, I think farmers are just not used to fill out forms and to comply to certain rules.
Right.
Now, why did you decide to take your restaurant from, you know, there's one step where you decided that you wanted to get mostly organic produce and be in control of having stuff come from sustainable sources, and I'm assuming mostly local sources. But what made you decide to take that step? Sounds like a lot of trouble. Sounds like a lot of expense. What made you decide to become a certified organic restaurant?
Because I think many people, I wanted people to really trust that when they come here, it is really, truly organic. I think many restaurants and chefs say they're organic, and then they have perhaps organic chicken and lettuces, and they have sometimes organic things when they're available, and often when the price permits or when it's feasible or whatever. And I didn't feel that was really true, because I wanted my customers to really trust me that no matter when they come, they can be assured that the food is pure and wholesome, and it doesn't have any type of chemical. There's no danger of having any kind of, you know, pesticides or fungicides or hormones or antibiotics or GMOs. I mean, it's getting more and more complicated with our food sources. You know, that 80% of our corn is GMO, and the same, you know, for...
Well, not of your corn, but of the corn that
yeah,
we eat
the conventional
in America.
Corn. Right. And you know, corn is in nearly everything in different shapes, like in lecithin or corn syrup. So I just wanted to make, to assure my customers that the food that they have here is really clean. It's mm-hmm. clean and wholesome, and they can trust it. You know, there are more and more people allergic to it. There are more and more people that have health concerns because they're taking. Have been eating too many antibiotics.
Nora, we're going to take a little break, and I want to talk more about that very topic when we come back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Nora Poulon is our guest. Her restaurants are Nora and Asian Nora in Washington, D.C. She's the first certified organic restaurant in the country. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1125.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys radio show and stage left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission? To live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standard set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Our guest today is Nora Poulon. She is a pioneer in the organic food industry. Her restaurants, Nora and Asian Nora, are two of the top-rated restaurants in the country, really, and they're also the first certified organic restaurant we have in the nation.
I want to tell you that it's only Nora's that is certified organic.
Right.
Asian Nora is not certified organic.
Now, when you went to certify, we were talking before about one of your goals was to make it very simple for your customers to be assured that they were getting simply raised food. And you said something that I thought was really interesting. You said, you know, it's getting so complicated, our food system. We agree. I mean, we have a radio show trying to simplify people. We're on 5 days a week, an hour a day. And how do you feel it's getting more complicated in sourcing food?
Well, it's not complicated in sourcing food. It's that unfortunately our conventional food gets more and more altered. You know, it's further and further away from its natural way of growing, of being raised, of being cultivated. I think
it's getting less and less conventional.
Right. Isn't
that? Well, I mean, that's really, you have exactly right. I mean, organic food should be the conventional food, and conventional food should call it, you know, pesticide food or drug food or chemical food.
you know what's interesting, Nora? We just opened an Italian American restaurant. We have a contemporary American restaurant as well. But we just opened an Italian American restaurant, and when we put the menu together, obviously we're not certified organic. We're not 100% organic, but we try to buy from local farmers whenever we can. Things that are sustainably produced, no hormones, no antibiotics, no pesticides, fungicides. And we started to put that on our Italian American menu with the veal parmesan and the chicken parmesan and the chicken scalparello. And when you name the farms or you talk about organically raised, you know, organically raised free-ranging chicken parmesan just doesn't flow right.
Or hormone-free lasagna.
Right.
You know,
right. And what we realized was just what you just said, it doesn't seem to fit because Grandma Lombardi, who Mark's grandmother, who this food is named for, never went out in her life and asked for an organically raised free-ranging chicken. But, of course, every chicken she ever bought in her whole life was organically raised free-ranging chicken, you know? That should be the standard.
I agree with you. But, I mean, depends when she bought the chicken. If you bought your chicken before World War II, you always had organic chickens in the sense that we have now. But after World War II, that's when it started. That's when it started with all the using all the different kind of chemicals, drugs, pesticides to...
When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Nora Poulon about her organic restaurant, which is actually very conventional, I believe, like our food is very conventional, in Washington, D.C. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1130.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Our guest today is Nora Pouillon. She is a pioneer in the organic food industry. Her restaurants, Nora and Asian, are in Washington, D.C., have garnered raves from across the country. Nora is the first certified organic restaurant in the country. She's got 4 stars from the Mobile Travel Guide. She's also consistently in Zagat's top 10 restaurants. And we're talking about how, what's interesting is that Nora, and tell me if you agree with this characterization of your food, your food is the in your restaurant, while it, you know, organic is a special certification that you went through, in a way your food is more traditional than people who are eating in other restaurants, don't you think?
No, I don't know what you call traditional, but my cuisine is like new American cuisine, like what other people do. I think people don't understand what it means to be a certified organic restaurant is that it has nothing to do with the cuisine. It's just that the ingredients themselves are pure and without any chemical additives.
I guess that was my point, though. You know, that in sourcing the ingredients, it's not like organic is this new crazy hippie thing. Organically produced ingredients are the traditional way that it was produced. It's genetically modified corn that's the new and radical way of producing food. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yes. And I think with my restaurant, that's what I tried to say, that when people say, what kind of restaurant do you have? And I said, well, I have a new American cuisine done with organic, or I say I have an organic new American restaurant. And people say, oh, it's healthy. So I said, yes, it is healthy, but, you know, it is new American cuisine, and I prove it with the restaurant that it's not, you know, bean sprout and rice, and people think then what it means it's vegetarian, or they have to go on a special diet, or they cannot have wine, or they cannot have a big piece of steak, and that it doesn't mean that at all. What it means, just as I said, that the ingredient itself is certified organic, but the restaurant is an upscale restaurant that you know, anybody can walk in and come in that would not know anything of the restaurant, would not feel it's any different from any other new American cuisine restaurant.
Mm-hmm. I guess what you're saying is butter's okay, but let's not get it from cows that are pumped up with hormones and antibiotics.
Yeah, that's true. But on the other hand, what I try to be a little bit more healthy than just not only the ingredients. For instance, all my main dishes, I don't use any butter or cream in my sauces. I do reductions, or I do vinaigrettes and salsas, but I use plenty of butter and cream in my desserts and sugar, and I think that people expect that. I mean, if you order a dessert, you sort of know what you're doing, but I always felt it was never very honest to give people a piece of fish and then give up, you know, a heavy butter sauce, or perhaps have all the vegetables that come with the fish poached in clarified butter, as you know, many restaurants do. So I try to keep the menu very balanced and sort of lower in calorie. And when I use fat, which I use olive oil and sunflower oil, and I don't try to have some hidden calories that people, customers would not understand. I want my customer to walk out of the restaurant and really feel good and want to come back, and I think it proves that the formula works, because I'm in business since 27 years. I mean, which restaurant is in business for 27 years, and I'm doing better than ever before. I'm doing every year better, basically.
Now, your restaurant also has a reputation. I mean, just it has the rep of being sort of a great place for a date, sort of a sexy restaurant, as well as, you know, a super high-end restaurant. And as well, if you weren't looking specifically for an organic restaurant, you were just looking for a great new American restaurant, you wouldn't even know that your restaurant was organic, except that it's stated.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to prove, because people have sort of immediately this red, you know, button comes up in their head, oh, healthy food, or I won't like it. And I just wanted to prove the opposite with this restaurant, that it's just a very nice restaurant, and you can have everything you want.
You know, what some people may not realize, and tell me if you agree with this paradigm, because the way I always explain it, because we use a lot of, we're very, there have been a lot of lists come out, a lot of sort of restaurant critics or cranky restaurant critics have come out saying, oh, you know, it's just a trend that restaurants keep identifying the farm that the food comes from. Why is that important? Who cares? And our opinion is it's not a trend. It's a return to finding great food. And what we say is, look, if you sent two people out on two separate missions and you sent one guy out and you said, listen, you go find me a locally raised, sustainably produced tomato in season. And I don't care what it tastes like. I want you to find me the most responsibly raised tomato. And you send another guy out and you say, listen, you find me the best tasting tomato. They're going to wind up at the same farm with the same tomato. I mean, don't you think that's the case?
I'm sure. I mean, I think your word, the key word is season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I think organic food often has more flavor because so many of the weird growing techniques that are used in conventional food can't apply to organic agriculture. So the seasonal vegetable is really the thing. And so, you know, I can't get any tomatoes. I don't buy any tomatoes during the winter, and I can't get any tomatoes until July, August from here in the Washington D.C. area, and I'm not supporting. I don't think it's very sustainable to get tomatoes from Chile, Mexico, or from Israel, or you know South Africa in the middle of winter. I don't think that's sustainable to have a tomato travel around the world, you know, spending all this gas on shipping and God knows what to come to give me a tomato that on top won't taste very tomatoed because to travel so far, they have to pick it when it's half green.
Right.
To travel so far, to make a tomato travel so far to not taste good doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, it doesn't.
Is it more difficult for you then in certain seasons than other seasons to run your restaurant based on the parameters you set up?
It's always quite complicated because I don't deal with just a couple of purveyors. I deal with 35 different farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have different delivery days and different criteria, and what they have is very limited, and so it's I have somebody on my staff that does nothing but the ordering, the buying, the researching, and the receiving. But I truly think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. I feel I am the one who initiated to create a co-op for the farmers, that little Amish and Mennonite farmers in Pennsylvania that basically could not make a living by themselves, and they created a co-op, and I introduced them to all different chefs here in Washington, and I committed myself to buy for them regularly, even though it was not fantastic at the beginning, you know, our arugula the size of chard and things like this because they had never heard of it before. Mm-hmm. You know, they grew things for me. And I also initiated the fresh farm markets here in Washington, D.C., which means it's only producer-only farmers market. Because before, when you went to Washington to a farmers market, they sold bananas and oranges.
Yeah.
And, you know, making people believe they grow them in
right, those, those Washington State bananas, I understand, are pretty delicious. Now, I think the other one of the difficulties that people may not realize is to buy sustainably and seasonably. You do with your meat as well. And we only have a minute, but we'll take a break and come back and finish it. When you buy meat, it's quite complicated. When you buy beef, you got to buy like the whole cow, right? I mean, you buy whole animals.
It used to be like this when I started out. The first 15 years, I had to buy the whole animal, and each time I was stuck with 900 pounds of ground meat, and it was a nightmare because I had done every ground meat recipe from around the world you can imagine.
Yeah.
To just get rid of it. But nowadays, because there are so many more farms out there, and luckily schools and hospitals and take the ground meat, so I can buy only the primal cuts. So it's getting better, but it's still very difficult to find, you know, and the quality, to find the consistent quality for New York strip or filet mignon, because it comes from all different types of cows, all different varieties. So sometimes I get it, it's wonderful. The next time I get it, it's not so great. But, you know, it's getting better every year, and it has been with everything like this. And I think with the organic movement growing more and more, I think we will see that it will be easy soon.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Nora Pouillon about her restaurant in Washington. It's first certified organic restaurant in the country, Restaurant Nora. We're going to link you to it from our site, restaurantguysradio.com. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys Radio Show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to restaurantguysradio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Nora Pouillon. She has restaurant Nora in Washington, D.C. She's got 4 stars in the Mobile Travel Guide. She's consistently in the top 10 restaurants of Zagat's. And hers is the first certified organic restaurant in the country. Now, Nora, one of the things that I think is really interesting that we have to work with our cooks and our chef and our chefs de cuisine with is when we buy, say, organic pork, right, or we buy heritage breeds of pork from a network of small farmers, a co-op of small farmers we've gotten involved with, one of the things that is challenging as a chef, and I think wonderful as a chef, but certainly more difficult to deal with, is that the product isn't as consistent as agribusiness product. I mean, it might be a different shape, it might be a different texture, and it changes throughout the time of year.
It might be a different color, yeah, depending on time of year.
Do you find that to be a problem to train your cooks, or how do you deal with that stuff?
Yeah, but, I mean, this is what I mean, that this is the natural way of doing it. Basically, this poor hog has been forced to create always the same product by using different chemicals, different additives in its feed and all that. I think it's a normal way. Things are not consistent. Things are not exactly 100% the same. I think for me that's wonderful. It's just another challenge. I mean, if the cut of pork has a tendency to be leaner, then I make sure that the sauce I give with it or the vegetables I give with it are richer to compensate, or I give more sauce, or the way I cook it, I don't do a fast cooking. I do more perhaps a slow braise with it or a slow roasting. Mm-hmm. You know, you have just to sort of, you know, really know your ingredient and sort of play with it. But, it becomes second nature. Yeah, I think the biggest complaint I always hear from people is that it's so expensive. And I always tell people that they're not looking at the real cost. Because mm-hmm. if you eat pure, healthy, wholesome food that's high in nutritional value and without all the additives, I think your health will be much better, and you would save on the doctor what you can put into the food that you buy. And I tell you, I am a living example of this. I have been eating organic food for 30 years. I have 4 children, and they are not sick. I can't remember when they had ever an antibiotics, and I don't know whenever I had an aspirin or they had. So I think it really has a lot to do about your environment and what you put in your body, what attacks your body. And I think that's what I try to tell people with my restaurant, is that you have to really think about what you put into your body.
I think that sometimes people don't even realize where you have something like farm-raised salmon. Well, farm-raised salmon are fed an additive so that their color looks like wild salmon. They're fed a food to make them turn
they're
more orange.
Pink food coloring.
I know, but you know
gray.
that is not the worst thing, because it's derived from a it's a carotenoid.
Yeah, right. Carotenoid.
But
mm-hmm. right,
not the worst. The worst thing about the farmed salmon is what it does to the environment, mm-hmm. and also what it does, and that the salmon itself is fed antibiotics and hormones, mm-hmm. like the beef, because they are to have this very cheap salmon that you pay like $3.40 a pound compared to $9.40 a pound for wild salmon is because they are crammed into a pen. That so to keep them healthy, they have continuous to be given chemicals.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's amazing that that doesn't have to be labeled. I mean, all beef should have to say contains hormones, or you know. Mm-hmm. And we'd see if you'd still buy it and give it to your kids.
And what the salmon fish farms, the amount of refuse that a salmon fish farm lets out is astronomical.
You know, they say that they say that a fish farm, if it spews untreated, like the least responsible fish farms, they spew into the water the same amount of pollutants as a city of 40,000 people.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, One fish farm.
I know. I think that that's the bad thing, that people are not aware of it, and that only slowly now the Environmental Protection Agency the Agriculture Department gets to it and asks them perhaps to filter, but some of these pens are in the middle of coves or in the middle of the ocean, you know, so that you cannot really filter the water. Basically, they use the ocean water, and the ocean water gets more and more polluted and kills all the living, you know, all the algae and all the living
organisms.
Yes, that are around it. So it becomes these dead zones. It's really very sad because basically we do it with our fish the same mistake we did with our beef. We do this mass farming, which does not work without the addition of all these poisonous chemicals.
You know, Nora, we only have a minute left in this segment, and I'll come back. I'll take us over the next segment. But I want to say that I was coming to do this show today, and I got my Zagat email newsletter, right? And lo and behold, who's there but you? And you're listed under the title of Iron Chef Mom. Did you know that? Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
You were listed. There are like four moms who also are chefs and restaurateurs, and it talks about balancing home life and the like. You have four kids, right?
Yeah.
And you've raised your kids while running a restaurant?
Well, I had two older. My older boys are in their 30s, so they were teenagers when I did the restaurant. So they, after school, they came to the restaurant, and basically that's how I raised them. They came to the restaurant, they did the homework, we spent some time in the afternoon between lunch and dinner, and then they went home. But it was really mostly their father that raised them. But the same thing with, I mean, I'm there too, and I'm an example, and I'm guiding, but, you know, I work every day. So our big day is Sunday, where we really spend completely always together. It's like, you know, our day and all the vacations, we always spend all the vacations together.
We'll come back in just a moment. We're talking with Nora Pouillon. Her restaurant is Restaurant Nora in Washington, D.C. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1155. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And our guest is Nora Pouillon. And we're talking, Nora, about your recent designation, the most recent of many honors, as the Iron Chef Mom. Now, you have your two older boys were teenagers when you started the restaurant, but you have daughters who are now, what in their teens, their late teens?
No. Now one is 19, and she just is her first year in New York at the Parsons School of Design in the college, and my younger daughter still is in 10th grade here in high school.
Difficult being a chef mom, isn't it? I mean, I don't have a family. I barely can keep a cactus alive, but Mark has four kids, and it's a real challenge being a chef and a parent, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's nearly impossible to do it alone. You really need a partner that helps you take away half the burden, because unfortunately the chef hours are not only long, but there are the times when your children are at home, like in the afternoon and mm-hmm. at night, and so you need somebody that is there for them in that time.
If you're running a restaurant or two, they better be willing to take more than half the burden.
Yeah. There's a little shout-out to Mark's wife we have right there on the show. So Nora, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We're going to put a link up to your restaurant on our site, restaurantguysradio.com, and we're going to come down to Washington and visit you next time we're there for sure.
Please, and let me know when you're coming.
We absolutely will. Well, that was Nora Pouillon. Her restaurants are Nora and Asia Nora in Washington, D.C. Nora is the first certified organic restaurant in the country, and that's a big step, and she went to a lot of trouble to get
that certification.
It's a lot of work.
There's no doubt that it's a lot of work in order to do that. And
she said three restaurants in the country are currently doing that right now.
It's you have to push your purveyors to become certified. And again, you may even have purveyors who are doing things the way that in a certified or in an organic way, but not want to go through the certification.
But remember, we're not talking about crunchy granola beige food from the 70s. One of the reasons to look for food that's raised in this way is because it's the best tasting food you can get. And so if you're looking for the best tasting meal you can get, or you're looking for a very healthy, sustainably produced meal, it's the same criteria in buying the ingredients. And I can't wait to get in. Check out her restaurant down there. Hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 12 noon.